Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Hey, welcome back to the podcast. It's been an incredible summer here at Fellowship, hasn't it, Amy?
Oh, it's been great, yes.
So many exciting things happening around our church this year. We've had a ton of missions trips go out around the world. Didn't you go on a missions trip this summer?
We did. It was awesome. Can I tell you a little bit about it?
Yeah, where'd you go?
Well, we went to Rwanda, and we were serving the church of one of our missions partners, Joel Sengoga.
Oh, the Sengogas?
Yes.
They are famous in our house because of their name. You remember the missions book that we got that the missions team put out?
Yes.
With all the prayers that we can say for the different missionaries? Our kids love the Sengogas because they love saying their last name.
Well, we love the Sengogas too. And Joel and his family, they spent a year here in Little Rock going through Fellowship Associates Church Planting Residency Program. And now they're back in Rwanda, and he started his own residency program to train pastors and plant churches throughout the country.
Wow, that's really neat.
Yeah. He has about, this last year, there were four pastors who went through the program, and he'll start it back up again for next year. So our team, we had the opportunity to go and have a vacation Bible school with the kids, and we taught about marriage and parenting to the adults. But most of all, we were really just able to be there and love and encourage the pastors and their wives and build relationships with them and just be a part of ministry alongside them.
That's really cool. So for someone that's listening to this podcast and not really knowing what a trip looks like through Fellowship, how many people went on your trip? Who led the trip? What was it like?
Yeah, we had 11 people on our trip. And so my husband Marty and I led the trip together. We had gone last year. So this was our second time to go. And so we took a group of 11 people of all different ages, life stages. And it really was a neat bonding experience for all of us because over the year we met and prepared for the trip. And then by the time we went, we really felt like we were starting to get to know each other. But after you spend a week on a mission trip with people, you really get to know them. And so I just feel like I have 9 new friends that I just love.
Yeah, that's awesome. I wish I would have been able to go on a trip this summer, but it just didn't work out for me. But I still got to meet and hear a lot of really cool stories of things that were happening here in Little Rock. Like, I've talked to multiple different people from different religions and backgrounds who started getting involved with Fellowship or started following God. Like, I talked to a Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, and even some agnostics that came into our church.
Where are you hearing these stories?
A lot of them came in through the Connection Center, looking for pastors to pray with or to talk to. They came in. These are people who came in really to hear. They wanted to know more about the God of the Bible. They wanted to know about what they're hearing or they're seeing in the Bible, and they wanted to know this true God that we talk about. One of the stories I'll tell you really quick was really neat. I was talking with a D group leader this summer, and he was telling me that he was born and raised in India, and he was born or raised a Christian in India. And I thought that was pretty interesting because I know a little bit about India. I know Compassion was shut down in India this year and because of their Christian beliefs. And I wanted to know a little bit more about how he was raised as a Christian. And he told me actually his mom was a first generation Christian there. And as I dove into it a little bit more, I found out that she was married. Her and her husband were married at an early age, at like 14.
Wow.
And she wanted to have kids right away, but for years she wasn't able to have kids. And he told me that she tried everything. Now here in the US, when we talk about try everything, we're thinking medically, right?
Yes.
We're going after all the treatments, all the infertility stuff, we're doing it all. She meant religion. She went to the Buddhists, she went to the Hindus looking for some help. And then finally one of her friends said, "Why don't you try praying to the God of the Bible?" Because there's stories in the Bible about women who wanted children, and they prayed, and then the God of the Bible gave them children. So she went and prayed to the God of the Bible, the true God, and he answered her prayer and gave her a child. And from that, she said, "I will never follow anyone else. This God is the true God." And she gave her life to him and has been following him ever since and has raised her family in that too.
Wow, that's an incredible story.
Just incredible. God is doing a lot of things in and around Fellowship. It's really cool to talk about.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the things I've loved so much about this sermon series this summer. As different pastors have shared about their favorite Bible stories, one theme runs throughout all these stories, and that's that God is at work. He's the main character of every story in the Bible, and he's at work through the church and through his people.
That's right. I think it's really important to remember that these stories, my favorite story, these Bible stories, they're true. They really happened. That's something that my wife Emily and I try to talk to our kids about, that these stories are real. They really happened. They're not just fictional stories that we read about every night.
Yeah.
So we're going to have Brandon on here in a little bit to talk more about that series, that summer series that we did, and just some of the implications of that and why we did that.
Okay. Well, that's going to be great. You know, I was just thinking about those stories. Was there one that really impacted you in the way that it was shared?
Definitely. Week one, back in the first week of June, when Mark talked about Jonah. For me, Jonah has always been this character that's kind of a loser, right? He ran from God. Through the four chapters that we get there, he didn't want to do anything that God wanted him to do. And even when God blessed the city of Nineveh and the people turned from their sin, Jonah just complained about it. Right. And so I never really had this high regard for Jonah. And really, as Mark was talking about it, I realized that that's my story.
Mm.
That's me. Mm-hmm. Just running from God when God has things for me. Not really being willing to step into situations that I don't want to step into. Mm. And there's a lot of ways that I can relate to that there.
Yeah.
Mm. So do you have a favorite story that maybe even wasn't shared this summer?
That's a hard one. There's so many stories that I love. You know, but I think for me, Ruth has always been special. As a kid, there was an elderly woman in my church who my family kind of adopted, and she adopted us, and she really became like a grandmother to me. And to this day, she really stands out in my mind as one of the most godly women I've ever known. I could really tell you stories for days about her faith and God's faithfulness to her. But by the time I was in college, she was at the nursing home, and I would come home on the weekends and I would go visit her, and she would always want me to read the Bible to her. And every time she would request that I read Ruth. So I would climb up in the bed beside her and lay down, and we would read Ruth. And so that story has just always been special to me, partially because it reminds me of her, but also it just reminds me about how God is at work to bring about his purposes, even when the situation looks terrible to us, that we don't always see the bigger picture of what's going on.
Why'd she ask you to read Ruth? What was special about that to her?
You know, I really don't know. Just she was always sharing Bible stories with me, always reading things. And but for some reason in those last days for her, Ruth was just really special. And she just, you know, I don't know if maybe there was something in her life that it was special to her for a reason, but she did just ask me to keep reading Ruth to her.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. Well, Brandon, we want to welcome you here to the podcast and say hi to you. Brandon's one of our teaching pastors here at Fellowship. And Brandon, we just wanted you to come in and talk with us a little bit about my favorite story in the summer series that we did.
Yeah, it's great to be with you guys and to be here on the podcast. You know, when we started down this road of doing my favorite story, we were really excited about it because, you know, the truth is everyone loves a great story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even really kind of even in our tech-savvy, tech-saturated, I mean, here we are on a podcast.
Right, yeah.
Tech-saturated world, there's just something about a story that kind of draws you in. It makes you laugh, makes you cry, makes you think, makes you question, kind of makes you act maybe on things that you've heard. And I believe it's the way God created us. You know, our lives matter, our stories matter, because really, in the kind of big picture of it all, there's a greater story that's being told and it's being lived out. And so we were excited to be able to kind of jump into that and to dive into that whole series. You know, one of the other reasons we did it was we wanted to give really our pastoral staff, some of our pastoral staff, an opportunity to preach and teach, you know, to connect to the larger body.
And that was really evident. That was really cool to see.
It's been neat to hear from the different pastors. It gives you an idea of their personalities as well, helps the body get to know them. So that's been fun.
Absolutely. We wanted to connect them to the larger body in a way that they don't normally get to do. And quite frankly, summer seemed like the perfect time to do that.
Yes.
Contrary to what some people thought, it was not really a time for Mark and Ben and I to take a break.
Didn't you go out to Hawaii for a few weeks?
No.
That was a rumor.
No, but that would be nice. We love teaching the scriptures. We love connecting with our body in that way. But we just felt like it was something different and that it would be encouraging, mm-hmm. to our body. Because really, Cabot, Benton, Little Rock, all the campuses experienced, that live teaching and those stories that were being told. And so it was real important for us to do that. And, one other thing, too, was that we never want to assume that everyone knows all these stories.
Mm. Yeah,
that's right. I grew up in a situation where I was taught the Bible. I heard a lot of these stories, and many of them have been dear to me for a long time, I think because of that. But we got quite a few comments from some people in our body who actually said, I've never heard that story. Or mm. I was kind of vaguely familiar with that story, but I didn't really see that part of it. Our guys that were teaching maybe were bringing in angles of the story that they just maybe had never considered or had never seen. And so quite honestly, it was kind of fun to hear some people say, man, it was great to hear that story, so mm-hmm. so we got to introduce and in some ways reintroduce people to these wonderful stories.
So is that why it's important? It was important to do a series like that?
Yeah, I think that was what was important to us, because we, again, wanted to maybe introduce, for some people, I'll use that phrase, and then reintroduce to many of us these stories mm-hmm. that speak truth to us, and you kind of alluded to it, Dan, of just saying, why was it important for us to do this series or to kind of choose that? And in some ways, what do we hope people were kind of, wanting to get out of it? And mm-hmm. I think that we were praying that, first of all, people would just be encouraged and challenged. Again, just loving a good story and being able to laugh, to think, to be challenged in some ways, and understand that their story, like all of our stories, is part of a greater story mm-hmm. that's being told, that we were created to worship and glorify God. And I think, too, to see the flawed people in the Bible that some people have referred to as heroes. Mm. And certainly in some ways they are heroes of the faith. I mean, we do see God using them and working in them in powerful ways, but realizing that there really is only one hero, mm-hmm. right? There really is only one true hero, and that's Jesus, and we're all broken people.
That's right. So every story that we heard seemed to have a constant theme of Jesus running through it,
yeah.
even if it was an Old Testament story.
Right.
So why is it important to see Jesus in every one of those stories?
Well, I think that's the beauty of the Bible, because it is telling one great story. I think sometimes people want to approach it to where, it's a book of a bunch of books, or it's a book of a bunch of stories, that maybe in some ways seem to some people that they operate kind of in and of themselves, but that's not the case. I mean, from Genesis to Revelation, there is this thread of grace. There is this thread of Jesus, of his redemption, of him coming to save us, and so he is this great hero. And so in a lot of ways, we really wanted to kind of tap into that. And I know you guys have heard me kind of talk about the Jesus Storybook Bible, right?
Right, yeah.
And certainly it would be a great resource that we, recommend to families and individuals. And, for being honest, it's in a lot of ways just as good for adults as it is for the kids.
We loved it with our kids because it just brought those stories back in a way that you could really understand as you were reading them. The mm-hmm. kids were understanding, but it also was just good for us to read it again.
Right.
You know, I had someone tell me recently that this was one of their assigned books for their seminary class too.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it's funny because simple does not mean shallow.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And I think a lot of times the more we can understand the simplicity and the beauty
yes.
of these stories, it takes us to a place and to a depth that is really healthy for us. But can I just read part of, is that okay? Can I read part of this?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What are you going to read?
Well, it's actually the intro part of the Jesus Storybook Bible.
All right.
And what it says is this: Now, some people think the Bible is a book of rules, telling you what you should and shouldn't do. The Bible certainly does have some rules in it. They show you how life works best, but the Bible isn't mainly about you and what you should be doing. It's about God and what He has done. Other people think the Bible is a book of heroes, showing you people you should copy. The Bible does have some heroes in it, but as you'll soon find out, most of the people in the Bible aren't heroes at all. They make some big mistakes, and sometimes on purpose, and they get afraid and they run away, and at times they are downright mean. No, the Bible isn't a book of rules or a book of heroes. The Bible is most of all a story. It's an adventure story about a young hero who comes from a far country to win back his lost treasure. It's a love story about a brave prince who leaves his palace, his throne, everything to rescue the one he loves. It's like the most wonderful of fairy tales that has actually come true in real life. And you see, that's the best thing about this story. It's true. There are lots of stories in the Bible, but all the stories are telling one big story, the story of how God loves his children and comes to rescue them. Mm. Isn't that good?
That's such really a good introduction. You know, I was having a conversation with a girl the other day about reading her Bible, and she was saying, you know, when I have a problem, I try to go, like, flip open my Bible and find something that'll talk about it. And so I was talking to her some about trying to read the whole of the Bible and see the story of what God's doing throughout the whole Bible and not to center it just on her situation.
Right.
And that if we can learn to do that and see what God's doing, then when we're in those situations, we have that faith in Him built up from seeing what He's been doing throughout history.
Right. And I would say, too, what's fun and encouraging and gives hope to me is that, you know, the same God, the same Jesus, the same Spirit that were alive and well in these stories all throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, it's the same God, same Jesus, same Spirit that's at work today
in
us and through us, you know, to bring glory to God.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you and Julie have spent some time reading this book to your kids, right? Talking about some of these Bible stories.
We have, yeah.
What are some of the favorite stories that your kids have landed on?
Wow, that's a deep question there. We have several kids, and so we kind of have multiple choice on that. You know, our kids love the story of Jonah. They certainly love when we read that story. They love the story about, you know, just when Jesus taught his disciples to pray. That's actually one of the stories that they are kind of drawn to. We've gone back to the Exodus story. Mm-hmm. When God delivers the Israelites out of Egypt, they tend to love that story. And actually, the Tower of Babel, they think that's an interesting story about these people who are trying to make a name for themselves, you know, instead of glorifying God. And so,
Tell me a little bit. I want to paint a picture for people who maybe have not spent a lot of time with Bible stories and their kids. What did it look like for your family when you guys would sit down to read this book together? What's that family time look like?
Yeah, it's not picture perfect.
It was an everyday occurrence, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe at your house, Dan. not for our house. But you know, it's not a picture perfect scene. But I will say this, especially for our younger kids, you know, they love a good story, right? And so what we find for us is a lot of times that tucking in bedtime is such a tender moment. And our kids seem to respond to that. You know, and even for those of us who have older kids, you know, one of the great ways to get them involved is sometimes to even have them read the story to the younger kids, right? So kind of get them involved in that way to where they can read the stories to the younger kids. And hopefully they're learning and being discipled in that moment, but they're also having fun, you know, reading it to their siblings.
Right.
But I would say for us, it's not necessarily an every night deal. It's not. And a lot of times we'll let them choose the story. You know, we'll just say, hey, why don't you pick? And we'll alternate so it doesn't create fights.
Right.
<You know? laughs> It's like I got my kids fighting over which Jesus story they want to read. You know, letting them choose and then Julie and I sitting down and just kind of reading with them. And then maybe talking about one truth in the story, that grace, that thread of Jesus, you know, because that's the one good thing about the Jesus storybook Bible is every story ends by kind of whispering the name of Jesus.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so to rehearse that with your kids is huge. And, oh, by the way, it's good for you too.
Yeah. Brandon, how do these stories translate to our everyday life? A lot of times, especially with the stories from the Old Testament, you know, Gideon blowing trumpets around with only 300 people and they defeat several thousand people.
Yeah.
Elijah asking God to rain fire from heaven.
Right.
How do these stories relate to our everyday life?
Yeah, more than people probably realize at times, you know. What I found to be true, especially in the Old Testament stories, is we don't, for many of us, obviously we're not finding ourselves in physical battles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not finding ourselves being surrounded by 450 prophets of Baal and, you know, we're going to sacrifice a bull on an altar. And,
right,
I mean, so you look at that and go, that doesn't feel very relevant to where I am today. And yet the truth of the matter is that I think we all feel like there are things that are overwhelming in our life. I think we feel like there are things that are either attacking us, coming against us, discouraging us, frustrating us. Those are some of the same themes that you see in some of these stories that when you look at your own life, you kind of go, man, this feels overwhelming to me. I don't know how I'm going to make it through this. Whether it's a frustration with a son or daughter, a mom or dad, a coworker, a neighbor, you know, you're looking at your life and you're kind of going, man, this just feels hard.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of the things I love about the story of Gideon because it does remind me that God does things his way and his timing, and it doesn't always look like we think it's going to look like.
Yeah.
You know? And so where I draw strength is seeing the grace that God displays in these stories and going, man, that's the same grace. You know, I told the story of Gideon. Don't know if you remember that one. but I told that story and, you know, the people of Israel were in this cycle where they would obey God, love God, forget about God, rebel against God. That's the same circle I see in my kids. Mm-hmm. It's the same circle I see in people around me. It's the same circle I see at the guy I see in the mirror every day. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so so that's where it becomes real to me in the sense of going, now this isn't something that just happened a long time ago. It actually gets to the heart of the matter.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. So what's your prayer kind of for our body as we come out of this series moving forward? And what do you hope they kind of take from this? And
yeah, I think one of the kind of surface level things is that our people would have an appetite for the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That they would just come out of this going, wow, that was good.
I want to read more.
I want to read more. Yeah. I enjoyed that. And so that there's a love that's developed for the scriptures and knowing that that we can see Christ in every story, that we can see the grace and love of God that kind of flows through that. And so also, my hope would be that for anyone who has kids or grandkids or nieces or nephews, that we can become a storytelling people,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we can look for ways to weave these truths into everyday life. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's something as simple as looking at the sunset and saying, man, who created that? God did. God created that. Or in times where you're talking to someone who feels like life is overwhelming, it's that hospital visit, it's that conversation you're having with someone, and they just feel like life's overwhelming. And you can say, you know what? I just recently read a story about a guy who was in a situation he felt totally overwhelmed,
mm-hmm.
and God delivered him. Like God brought deliverance, and it wasn't even in the way that he thought it was going to be. I mean, I think there's just ways that as we familiarize ourselves with some of these stories, that they begin to weave themselves into our everyday lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually encourages us, but also equips us to be able to have conversations with other people.
Whether we're at work, our marriage, with our kids.
That's the whole key there, Dan, because as we are saturated with these stories, they kind of ooze out of our lives, so
mm-hmm.
to speak.
Yeah.
So you find yourself, it comes up in everyday conversations. Whether you're a businessman who's flying and you're on the plane next to somebody and you're able to kind of go into a story because everyone loves a good story, right?
Mm.
Or you're at school with a friend or a classmate or whatever, or you're out working in the yard and you end up talking to your neighbor about something. I mean, it's transferable everywhere you go.
Yes.
Man, this is exciting stuff. I loved our summer here at Fellowship and just how the body's grown together, how we've seen this through the stories of life change in her body, but seeing the stories through Scripture mm-hmm. and how Jesus is still relevant in every one of those, and how he's still changing lives in every one of those situations. It's really cool to see.
It's good. Mm-hmm. It's true. It's good.
Hey, can you give us a peek at some of the what's coming up, some of the messages or series that are coming up here at the end of this year and early next year?
Yeah, real excited about just this next year. And, you know, we're going to currently in a series called Start With One, and really just kind of zeroing in on what's it look like to reach one, mm-hmm. right? To reach one person, to go after that one, to help grow up that one, to send out the one. And so we're really excited about that, because I think sometimes, you know, we want to reach our city. We want to reach Central Arkansas for the glory of God. Sometimes we talk about how there's, you know, 600,000 people in Central Arkansas that are disconnected or far from God, and how we want to see God, you know, bring those people to himself. That feels great. It feels inspiring. Also feels overwhelming.
Yeah,
but when I look at you, or I look at you, Amy, and I say, "Hey, just start with one. Start with one.
Yeah,
that's a neighbor, it's a friend, it's a family member. Start with one."
Yeah, that's good.
And so that's what we're going to be talking about, and really, it's going to shape kind of the direction of our year in a lot of ways, because we're talking about going after the one, we're talking about growing up the one, we're talking about sending out the one. So really, kind of there is this pattern, and in the midst of all that, we're talking about who's with us in that journey, as we talk about membership, as we talk about what it means to be a part of the family here at Fellowship. And so we're going to have a series in September called Together, where we're talking about what it means to really be a part of Fellowship and to be kind of all in some ways, you know, as we think about just what it looks like to do the one another's together in Scripture and to be on mission together. And so we're pretty excited about
that. Yeah, I like that word, together.
I do too. Fellowship together.
It's good. It's good.
Awesome, Brandon. Thank you so much for being here with us and just sharing a little bit about it.
Thanks for the invitation.
Thank
and
you so much, Brandon.
It's good to be with you guys.
You too. Thanks so much.
Awesome. Any closing thoughts, Amy?
No, I just, I love getting to talk about these and just hear these this summer. It's been really a blessing to have the teaching that we've had and the time in the Word together. So I'm looking forward to this fall.
Awesome. Well, we'll talk to you guys next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.